Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. I'm your host Omar Cumberbatch, and today's guest is Dillis Davis. Dillis is a dynamic lifestyle coach, motivational speaker, event coordinator, and author of Your Life, Your Purpose, No Explanation. She is also the founder of the Sip and Chat Movement, an empowerment, coaching, and networking event series currently based in the New York City area. Today, Dillis shares some great information based on her expertise as a lifestyle coach and entrepreneur. As a motivational speaker, Dillis uses her voice and inspirational spirit as a tool to help others find their way in life. Dillis has spoken at various empowerment events in order to continuously inspire and motivate guests to want to take leaps of faith and conquer their world with no more shame, guilt, or fear. Dillis, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Omar.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure. I'm really, really excited to get into all your books, stuff, and especially the Sip and Chat Movement. But I want to get a little bit of information from you so you can share with the audience how you got started on your path and just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started coaching when I was 16 years old, but I didn't realize I was doing it until I was 32. And it was pretty much just people coming to me because they felt like I had a great spirit, and I just was that kind of person that they looked for whenever they were in need or they needed counsel or advice or just a listening ear and a humble heart. So I was told. When that started, I said, okay, well, you know, I don't mind listening to people, and it just started that way. And when I was 32 years old, I stopped lying to myself. I stopped running from myself, and I decided to find out exactly who this person is inside and why I wanted to meet her. Why was she so valuable to me? And I wanted to see what everybody else saw in me because my background, I've been through a lot of abuse growing up. And so being abused, actually, it makes you lose focus and confidence. And when you lose your innocence, and so to speak, in specific situations, you don't have focus and clarity. All you just have is the blurriness, and you just turn to negative as opposed to positive. So I had to learn how to teach myself again about positivity and confidence and courage and strength. That happened. It was like an aha moment, like, wow, I'm supposed to be helping people. I'm supposed to be helping people using my stories of my life, my experiences and things that I've been through in order for them to know they're not alone, that I'm relatable and I can be trusted.
Now, that's an interesting segue because is it the gateway to coaching a lot is to kind of see that throughout your life you're really just consistently helping people? Is that something that is just a natural thing with a lot of coaches?
Certain coaches, I want to say, I don't know, I can't speak for everyone else, but I can speak for me and a couple of other coaches that I know that are in my field. They speak from experience. They coach from experience. Because they feel like at the end of the day, if you're speaking to somebody, you're trying to coach them, but you have no idea how they're feeling, how are you supposed to help them? How are you supposed to give them tips and suggestions or help them in getting from point A to point Z, whatever point A or Z is, personally or professionally, if you haven't been there yourself? What can you tell
them? Not very true. And you were able to relay that positivity throughout, you know, your younger days of coaching when you didn't know you were a coach yet, even despite the experiences that you were going through.
Right, exactly. Because I'm the oldest of four kids, and I did a lot of peer mediating and counseling when I was in high school. When I went to high school back home in Belize, I joined the peer mediator group. So a lot of the things that I was experiencing and going through at the time, I didn't realize was actually creating my life now, my destiny.
Wow, that's amazing. And you definitely turned the bad experiences into a very positive because, in your book and everything is very positive. It's a great work. How did you get to actually writing the book itself?
It's so funny because I went to Puerto Rico in 2013 with my husband. And at that time, I was going through severe depression because I got laid off from a job. And I was so used to running around, going to networking events, doing this and doing that and working at the same time. So my body literally just kind of like shut down on me in that aspect. And he was like, you know what, you need a break. Let's go to Puerto Rico. So I went to Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. I sat on the beach and I talked to God. And I'm like, you know, what is it that you want me to do? Because I feel lost at the moment. And I wasn't ashamed to just sit there and just say, I feel lost. And in my spirit, in my heart of all hearts, he told me, you were born an accomplishment, destined for greatness. You're not a disappointment. So I jotted that down on my phone. And I had kind of like a vision that I was going to meet an old woman in Puerto Rico that was going to change my entire life. So the day before we left, we were going to go to El Morro, which is like ruins in Puerto Rico, but it was closed. And there was like a little tunnel and a gate. And through the gate, when we went there, I saw this big house. It looked like a pink Pepto-Bismol house. It was so pink. And I was like, babe, let's go to the Pepto-Bismol house. He was like, what? He said, well, I'm going to, you know, smoke my cigarette. You go inside, I'll meet you. So I got into the house, and it was a whole bunch of pictures of this one specific woman. And it was a large picture of her, the biggest picture I've ever seen from a person. And her spirit just spoke to me, and I'm like, what are you trying to tell me? What is it that the message that you're trying to convey to me? And I felt it. I felt her spirit. And it was so strong and powerful and beautiful and positive and empowering, all those things. And I asked the tour guide, I'm like, do you feel her spirit? So another tour guide came around. She was like, oh, I need to speak to you. So she took me upstairs, and while I'm going up the stairs, there were so many things this woman did. She has so many degrees and all types of craziness. And she said, Doña Sara Rincon was pretty much for her people. She loved the people. She loved the community. She was an earth mother. And she's telling me these things, and I just started to cry. I don't even know why, because I don't know this lady from a hole in the wall. And I started to cry, and she was like, my message to you from her is to be strong, be powerful. You know who you are. You know what you need to do. Just do it. Just do it. Whatever it is in your heart to do, do it, because you are just like her. She is you and you and her. So she is kind of like your spiritual guide. She brought you here so I can give you this message in her house. So from that point on, I know, right? So when I left Puerto Rico, I came back to New York, and I just started writing things about my life and how I wanted to change it from negative to positive, and how I wanted people to learn and practice on a daily basis, knowing that they are born an accomplishment, knowing that they matter, their priority. They no longer have to bend over backwards for people. They have the right to say no, to know that they're valuable, important, and special. And when they're going through bad times, that's not going to last forever. It's only temporary, and learn from the lessons. So I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote until Your Life, Your Purpose, More Explanations was created.
That is crazy. That is such a great, great story. Now, have you gone back to Puerto Rico and visited the house? Did you get any more information?
I did not, but a couple of my friends that are from Puerto Rico, every time they go to Puerto Rico, they were like, we're visiting Doña Fela's house for you, Dillis, so I'll make sure we say hi to her. I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh,
but
my God. That is. Oh, yeah, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. That's a crazy story. But it just shows how, like, if you put, you know, an intention out there, ask for help, you know, amazing
mm-hmm.
things happen. So that is really, really mm-hmm. awesome. And you did say something that just caught my attention, too, when you were talking about, you know, needing the break, needing to go to Puerto Rico and actually, you know, kind of finding yourself. You mentioned that you were just kind of just going and going and doing stuff. And in your book,
mm-hmm.
you talk about the difference between an achiever mentality and a doer
mm-hmm.
mentality. I thought that was really cool. Can you speak on that for a sec?
The doer mentality is just doing, and, you know, there's no focus. There's no goal. There's no drive. You're just going because pretty much you wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, everything is redundant. Everything is just habit. An achiever is saying to yourself, okay, I have so many dreams within myself that I want to bring to reality. How do I make this happen? How can I change the world with it? And it's passion, it's drive, it's just that love of what it is that you're doing, the love of just finding out what you're here to do and making it work for yourself, and at the same time paying it forward and making other people happy. When you're doing, you're not making anybody happy, you're not making yourself happy, it's just the robotic routine. So that's the difference between being an achiever and a doer.
Now, let me ask you a quick question just about that, because I kind of think of myself in certain points in my life. Like, I'm a checklist guy. I like to write out a list and just start crossing things off. I'll write the stupidest thing down just to feel good about accomplishing. When I read
mm-hmm.
that part, it's a big difference between an achiever and someone just checking off things
mm-hmm.
on a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I want to get a little bit of clarification because, you know, doing it with purpose, I think, makes, like you said, makes a humongous difference. So that's
mm-hmm.
very, very interesting stuff. I really like that part of your book. very cool. And I want to ask you also, like, there's chapters about self-discovery. Now, you had a really great awakening, but I'm sure that wasn't the only thing that was a part of it. There was a lot of self-discovery involved in your process too, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of discovery in my process now as just being 38. I'm going to be 40 in 2 years, and I do my best every single day to learn something new about myself, and I do my best in whenever I'm afraid of something or afraid of taking a risk, I still take the risk anyway because I love being uncomfortable and being shaken to the point of so scared, but I still do what it is that I set out to do or achieve, if you will, because I feel like sometimes people allow fear, guilt, or shame to hold them back from doing their best and being their best. So for me, I just take it. I just do it.
Were you always this courageous?
Yeah. Sometimes I told myself I've always been this courageous. Like, I went to high school in Belize. I was 16 years old. I was a peer counselor. I taught dance. I was a choreographer. I was into poetry. I went to school and I worked at the same time.
Wow.
So pretty much just, I was never the kind of person to say, you know, I am not going to achieve that. If I'm very driven to the point where if I see something I want, I'm going to get it. No matter how long it takes me, how many times I fall, how many times I have to crawl, if I have to go back to the drawing board and brainstorm again, strategize all over again, it's going to be executed. In some way, shape, or form, it's going to be executed because that is what my heart wants. And my heart gets what my heart wants.
That's great. No, that's a way to be determined. I wanted to also ask you. No, it's awesome. I also wanted to ask you, just since we're on the topic of self-discovery, do you do anything meditation-wise, anything that you do that can enhance your ability to really look into yourself and get more insight into who you are?
I sometimes just turn everything off, and I'm just quiet and still, close my eyes, and I just let my thoughts do what my thoughts do. Sometimes I ignore them because I'm a person, I'm thinking all the time, I'm always creative and innovative, so I just ignore the thoughts, and I'm just present in the moment. And I actually started taking an introductory course of the School of Practical Philosophy to expand my knowledge and to help me grow a person, and there's something called the exercise where you're just very still, you're not talking, listening to all the sounds around you, and you're just inviting lights and color into your soul, and you're just still. You're just, you know, realizing the weight of the clothes on your body, the weight of the body on the chair, and you're just one with the earth, one with your spirit, one with your being. And that helps me a lot when I'm going through certain things. And the other thing I do is, especially when I'm upset or feel defeated or discouraged, I take a deep breath and I listen to my heartbeat and I feel it for what it is, because I believe that's the most amazing gift God gave us, and it could stop at any given moment. And I have to realize and tell myself, someone is dying every second of the day, and it's not you. You're very fortunate. So anything that you feel that is huge that you need to complain about, cut it out right now and just be grateful for where you are right now, because a lot of people can't say that.
No, you're right. Absolutely. I always ask the guests, you know, just a little bit of insight on that. You know, that's one of my things that I have a lot of difficulty with, is, you know, meditation, kind of slowing down a little bit. So anytime I get a guest on the show, especially with a resume like yourself, I always like to get like some tips and stuff like that, because I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience as well have some trouble slowing down, especially, you know, we're both in the New York area.
Run,
and, you know, just be consumed by the craziness sometimes. So those are good pointers.
Here's my take on meditation. Meditation is what you make of it. Meditation does not necessarily have to be quiet time in a room going or breathing or whatever. Meditation can be, if you are listening to music and it's your favorite kind of music and it makes you feel so peaceful and happy inside where you're just one with the music and yourself, that's meditation. Meditation can be going to a spa and just tuning everything out and just enjoying being rubbed up on. That's meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation can be, you know, you like to run. You're a jogger. And when you're running, you're one with the earth. You're one with the universe. You're one with God. You're one with your spirit. That's meditation. So meditation can be any form of how you want it to be. As long as you are in a happy, comfortable, safe, peace space where you can be your authentic self, that's meditation.
Very good definition. I had a guest, Kathy Groover, who actually did that as well. She kind of explained it to me how she did it, and I thought it was cool too because, you know, sometimes when you're type A personality, you can't kind of sit down and relax and do that sit-down kind of thing. You know, she does walking meditation. She does all these kind of movements and, like you said, just being one with whatever she was doing, and it worked phenomenally for her. So I like
mm-hmm.
that you kind of touched on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
With your self, you know, discovery, and then you also talk about self-reflection. Tell us a little bit about self-forgiveness and why that's so important.
For me, I was molested from 7 to 14, off and on. And everyone has their little vices or their own addictions. Mine was sex because that's how I was abused. And I was very numb. When it came to love, I was very numb. When it came to romance, I was very numb when it came to those things of life because that's how I was abused and that's all I knew. So for me, where forgiveness was concerned, I had to literally write a letter to little Dillis, forgiving big Dillis for things that I've done to her, because when you go through abuse at such a young age, I believe that that little girl or that little boy is still running inside of you and controlling you. It's not allowing you to be the adult that you know that you can be. And you use that as an excuse, and that's how you explain your actions, because you don't want to come to terms with things. So I had to be one with myself and be really raw and honest and truthful and transparent with me and be naked with me to say, okay, you know what? You screwed up. You did this, you did that, you did the next to the other. And that's why you are where you are right now. How do we get out of it? I have to forgive me. I have to forgive the people that I hurt. I have to forgive the people that hurt me. And I have to see what part I played in the situation. And I have to say, okay, well, you know what? That's the past. This is now. You're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But learn from them and add that to your daily life. And I would just look myself in the mirror and say, you're a beautiful being. You're brilliant. You're intelligent. You have all the potential in the world. You might not feel it right now, but you have all the potential in the world. So we're going to take the negative and try to transfer it into a positive thing. And I would do my affirmations. I would post up affirmations on my bedroom mirror, my bathroom mirror, and little things like that to remind myself daily that I am supposed to love me, that I'm a valuable human being, and I'm here for a reason. And that's how my forgiveness began.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear about your experiences. And I know, like, there's other people in the audience who definitely have dealt with traumatic experiences too. Now, did you get help from the outside, or this was something that you tackled on your own?
I did definitely get help. I did go to therapy, but it's something that I had to, like, literally tackle on my own and confront it head on and stop living in fear and stop existing. I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to live or I'm going to exist, and I had to choose. Either live or die, because dying to me is just existing. It's just
right.
Existing. Living, loving, laughing, and genuinely laughing, because I would laugh on the outside, but I was screaming for help on the inside, and nobody heard me because of the facade that I portrayed, the perception that I gave out, that I was all put together and everything was perfect in my world. But deep down inside, I was screaming, a little girl screaming for help, but I didn't know how, because of the guilt and the shame and the fear that I would be judged, rejected. I would be disappointed, and people would be disappointed in me as I would be disappointed in them. I didn't want to feel abandoned anymore, because that's how you feel when you go through those things. So you put this defense mechanism up. You put a wall up where, okay, well, I'm already hurt, and nobody else is going to hurt me. Nobody else is going to hurt me, so I had to let go of that and start living. And that's how this beautiful being you're speaking to today came to fruition.
You really are, and you know, it's amazing that you're able to overcome and come out on the other end. Like again, definitely a beautiful, beautiful being. So, and I appreciate your honesty, and I think that even just what you're saying is going to be helping so many people, and that's something I commend you for. It's really, really powerful.
Thank you.
It's crazy. You're kind of just making the interview just go so smoothly because, like, the next thing I had on my thing was about, you know, your discussion on the word survival, and, you know, you're a survivor. And you define the word survival in the book. And I just wanted to know, just reading it, how is that word, when properly used, like, an excellent way to perceive life?
Survivor, leader, conqueror, someone who has been through it and back again and still has the ability to love, to be compassionate, to want to help their fellow human being, even though the fellow human being has hurt them in a way where you have no malice, bitterness, anger in your heart. Your heart is pure. It's authentic that you have no qualms of telling another human being, let's lock arms together, let's do this. Or even if someone is going through the same thing that you've gone through, especially when people who go through abuse, they have triggers. If someone has triggered something in you and you know that person is not the person that did what they did to you, you're able to extend your arms to them. You're able to extend your heart to them. And to me, that is a conqueror. That's a leader. That's a survivor.
Very true. Very, very true. It's an amazing perspective on how to approach life, and I wish more people would definitely understand that concept. So I like how you highlighted that in the book as well. You also talk about coincidences and luck. You don't believe in any of that, do you?
I don't. I believe everything is destined to be the way it is from the time that we were created. Because how do you know that you were blessed with such talents and potential if you didn't go to school for it? Like, I went to coaching school, but I don't have a degree in psychology. I don't have a degree in psychiatrics. I don't have a degree in those things. I know what I know due from my experiences and just the fact that if someone comes to me and wants me to help them, I speak to their spirit, from my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's not taught. It's pure. It's within me. Just like whatever is within you. Like basketball players, for instance, how do they know that that's what it is that they wanted to do? They just feel it within themselves that that's what I want to do, and they practice, perfect. Like, how do you know that you want to be a lawyer or a doctor when you know, growing up? Or there's certain things in your brain that you don't even have to read a book from. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there. So little things like that.
So you definitely, it's a spirit-driven thing that you just have innately. And, you know, if you actually, you know, have an inclination to embrace it, you can not only own that, you can get better and better at it and become a master at it.
Right. Own it. That's the correct word. Owning it and creating opportunities within that talent that you have. Because we all can create opportunities and possibilities for ourselves where we're not holding ourselves back from actually doing what it is that we are put here to do. And that to me isn't coincidence, it isn't luck, because if sometimes, you know, when you go through like deja vu at times and you're like, damn, I've been here before, I felt like this before, that's not luck, that's not coincidence, that was designed to happen that way. Or say for instance you think of someone and then 2 days later or that same day you get a text or an email from that person. That's not luck. We're all connected in some type of way where our vibration of energy connects us to each other. So I don't believe in coincidences or luck. And
yeah,
I believe
I'd have to agree with you with that.
And whatever you speak into existence is what is going to happen. So whatever you give your attention to grows. So if it's positive, your whole being is going to be positive, and positive things are going to be coming to you, like laws of attraction. If you think negative, then you're always going to be in that negative mind frame. But once you turn stuff around, it gets so much better and easier, and then when you go through obstacles in the future that you might face, you'll know how to deal with them better in a positive perspective, and you'll look at it differently. Like, this was supposed to happen in order for this to happen, or that disappointment actually made something bigger for me to come to fruition.
Absolutely. And I, you know, it, since we're kind of talking about spirit, there's a, also a chapter that you refer, like, being kind to your spirit. Can you give us a few examples of how to be kind to your spirit?
We're all here with specific spiritual gifts. Me, I know when a person's going through something because I feel it emotionally. I cry, I hurt in my heart, I feel heartbreak, I feel sadness, and I know I'm going to get a phone call from someone that's going to tell me something's happened to them. If I ignore those feelings, I'm ignoring my spirit. I'm not being kind to my spirit because that's the part of me. It's part of my gifts. And being kind to your spirit is knowing when to have the balance of being selfish and selfless, knowing when it's okay to say no, where you're just nurturing yourself and pampering you as a person, where you're sleeping enough, you're putting enough vitamins in your body, you are praying, you're having faith within yourself, and you're making sure that you are one, mind, body, soul, heart, and spirit. But when you're not being kind to your spirit is when you're doing for everyone else emotionally, mentally, psychologically, and physically, and draining yourself out. You're not being kind to your spirit at that point in time because the messages or lessons that you should be taking in, you're not receiving it because you're blocking it from your spirit because you're not being kind to it.
So I'm glad you brought up the word no, and if you can even just expand a little bit more on that concept of how empowering that particular word is, and like basically putting yourself first is not a selfish act. I think a lot of people struggle with that. It would be great if you can expand on that a little bit.
Well, I was conditioned to always be there for other people because I was the oldest, like I said, so I would have to do everything going on, you know, where home was concerned with my siblings. And that trickled down to my friends, and it was needing validation and approval from everyone else instead of having my own approval or validation. So it made me guilty to say no because I felt like I was going to be rejected, people won't want to talk to me again, and all that kind of stuff. So when I became very upset and frustrated with myself, like, damn, like, I really want to say no, but I keep saying yes, and deep down inside, I know that's not what I want, and allowing other people who study you to say, oh, well, you know, you said you were going to do this, and then you turn around, and you don't want to do it again, and they put that guilt trip on you. So it's just pretty much standing your ground and what you believe in, meaning what you say, say what you mean, walk the walk, talk the talk. If no means no, don't go back in on your word because then people won't take you seriously. But if you say no and you say no with conviction and confidence and courage, then you know what? At the end of the day, you're better off because you're avoiding situations that you really, really don't want to be in. Or you're not going to be dealing with people that you really don't want to deal with, people who are not of value, who are not benefiting you in any way, shape, or form, who are taking a valuable space for those who will be there to inspire you and push you. Because there's givers and there's takers in this world. You want to be around people who are both. You don't want to be around people who are givers. I mean, are takers. You want to be people around people who will both do both give and take. Because you don't want always want to be a giver.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you 100%. And I know it's very difficult for a lot of people who struggle with this word and trying to, you know, again, feeling that it's a selfish act. What practical steps do you recommend that, you know, help people begin this process of putting themselves first?
Realize that everyone has the right to say no. Sometimes people might say no to you, and if they're right and you can't be upset with them, you just have to respect the fact that they're doing it. And they have to realize that you have every right to say no, and they can't get upset. If they get upset, fine. No worries. That's it. It's not a big deal. You know, but at the end of the day, you have to do what makes you happy and at peace with yourself. And if that means saying no, then that's one step closer to you respecting yourself with the utmost integrity and love that you have for yourself to know that this is not what I want, so I'm going to speak on it. This is not where I want to be, so I'm going to speak on it. Because sometimes when we do stuff like that, perfect example, my brother died when he was 20. He didn't say no to going out with his friends, hanging out with his friends. My father told him, you know, don't go outside, stay in the house. You know, it's late, it's 11:30. He said no to my dad. He said yes to his friends. Drive-by shooting, wrong place, wrong time. And
oh, that's terrible.
He lost his life. So with that being said, if you know is not going to get you where you want to be, or, you know, it'll put you in whatever trouble or harm's way, it's okay to say no because you're saving your own life. Look at it in that aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, saying, and again, saying yes to the right people would have made,
mm-hmm.
you know, a difference in, you know, that situation as well. It's a, you know, a tough example, but it makes it definitely highlight the act, and it makes it seem that you really have to listen to where you're actually putting your attention to. So, again,
mm-hmm.
sorry to hear about that. That's definitely tough.
It happened about over 15 years ago, I want to say. And, you know, it's tough, definitely, because he had his whole life ahead of him. But it teaches me specific things in my life, how to act accordingly, how to speak accordingly, and stuff like that. And sometimes it does take someone else's lesson for you to get it, for you to have that aha moment in your life,
yeah.
to say, okay, well, I don't think I want to go down that street. I'm going to go down that street. That street has more light. That street is too dark. Stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
You're really an enlightened soul, I tell you that much, because your answers are on point, and like I said, you're learning a lot of stuff in this lifetime, and you really put it in great perspective, and you got such a great attitude about it. I think mm-hmm. that go ahead. You guys mention something?
For me, I think I know my birth date. I don't know my death date, and until that point in time, I want to do everything that makes me happy. So when I'm on my deathbed, 150 years old, with my stilettos and my corset and my red lipstick and my cheetah print and my blonde hair, I'm going to say to myself, you live, girl. You live that life. That's what I want to say.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the sight you have to have in your head. I agree with you. You have to have that.
Yes. No, I don't want my hair to be salt and pepper. I want it to be a nice platinum blonde, and I want leopard print shoes. I want my nails to be done up. Yes, I want the whole 9 yards. Not because I'm 150 means I'm going to die looking, you know, a hot mess. No, that's not happening. Not on my watch.
Yeah, no, sexy to the end. That's good. That's the
way
to be.
Sexy to the end.
That's great. And one of the last questions I wanted to do on one of your last chapters in the book, it's about taking risks, leaps of faith. How do you get someone who's conservative and fearful to embrace that kind of, you know, perspective?
They have to realize that they matter, and not to worry about what anybody else says or thinks or feel about them, because at the end of the day, you're the only person paying your bills. You're the only person going through what you go through. And you have to make your decisions. We all have the gift of choice, and that gift of choice is not based on other people. It's not based on how they feel or think about you, because once you start taking that, you start thinking that way, you've already given people your power.
Mm-hmm.
You've given people your power. You can be reserved and conservative, but do it in a nice, fun way. I have reserved and conservative friends, and mm-hmm. when we're behind closed doors, they're like, woohoo, girl, yeah. Then when they're outside, they're like, yes, no, you know, stuff like that. But it's just a balance. It's a balance. You don't got to go crazy, but live life for what it is. It's meant to be lived. At least you can say, I should have, you don't want to say I should have, could have, would, and I didn't.
No, absolutely. Yeah, but I even have a difference in thinking about, just saying, you know, behind closed door, when you let your hair down is a different thing. But, actual leaps of faith for the conservative, I use the conservative in a bad word, but I guess it's just the fearful. How do you get them to take the chances?
Just put one foot in front of the other, and if you're breathing, if you're living, put one foot in front of the other. Baby steps. Take small baby steps. Like me, for instance, I had a fear of tattoos because of just growing up. It's like, you know, your body is your temple, and you're not supposed to desecrate it and all this other kind of stuff, which is fine. That's your view. But I had to get out of that mentality and say, okay, well, when I reach a specific age, and I know who I am, and I know what kind of tattoo I want, I'm not going to go when I'm 21 and just get a whole bunch of craziness all over my body, and then I'm at 40 going, damn, I got to go laser this crap off. So
right.
I got my coaching logo on my ankle, and that was my first tattoo that I got. I know who I am. I know what I like, you know, and this is the kind of tattoo that represents me. But I had to put all that fear aside of desecrating my body. And, you know, when you get old and gray, the rose that you have is going to look like a snake or whatever people say. And I had to realize, you know, I know what it looks like. I don't care whoever else doesn't know what it looks like. And just the fear of needles, I had to get over the fear of needles. And once I got it done, I'm like, oh, which one am I going to get next?
That's what I was going to say. How many do you have now? Because I hear it's very addicting.
Yeah, I have one. The other one I'm getting is going to be on my back. It's going to say love and live in truth. That's the next one.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, something meaningful, and it's something that I live by, and I love it, and it's going to be me. So, I mean, you're conservative. Yes, that's fine and everything else, but you can do things in baby steps in your own conservative little way.
Yeah,
whatever
no,
you
very
find,
true.
Yeah, because, like, for instance, my brother, he loves Comic-Con. He's, like, the biggest geek, but you know what? He owns his geekness. He owns his Comic-Con. He owns it.
Yeah.
You know, he has little glasses, and he's like, I'm going to Comic-Con. I'm like, I don't understand that crap, but you go ahead with your Comic-Con. Own it. Just own it. You can be conservative in your own little way, however you perceive that to be, as long as you're having fun with it.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And back to that tattoo business, that's the only reason I don't have a tattoo, because I have to find something
mm-hmm.
that I can live with forever and
mm-hmm.
deal with it. And, you know, one day I'm going to get something. I've always wanted something, but
mm-hmm.
I really liked how you came across, and, you know, well, I'm going to find it. I'm going to do it too. So I'm right behind
yeah.
you. I don't know how far, but,
I'll hold your
you know.
Hand through the process. I'll hold your hand through the process.
Sounds good. I appreciate
that. Well,
you got to find
something that says who you are and what you are in this world to yourself. And then it'll come
yes.
to you. It'll come to you.
Hey, I'm gonna think about this. I got
mm-hmm.
I'm like one of the only people left without one. So, you know, it's not that I'm doing it because I want to be a part of a crowd. It's something that I want. I just couldn't, you know, commit.
Well, my husband doesn't have a tattoo either.
He was
I want to get my. He doesn't have one, but he was like, if I got one, it would be my wife's face over my heart. And I'm like, you better not dance my face and put it on your chest. That's wrong with you.
Oh, man. Well, we're in the same boat then. All right, so
mm-hmm.
that's really cool. I guess I definitely want to at least touch base on the Sip and Chat movement. I think that's really cool because I'm hoping to get an invite one of these days to one of these
yeah,
events.
You
so.
Are more than welcome to come.
All right.
Sip and Chat movement is an idea that I came up with back in 2013. I was looking on Facebook, and I saw Sip and Shop. I'm like, I'm tired of going to these damn Sip and Shops. I don't need another lipstick. I don't need another earrings.
Yeah.
So I guess the universe just put in my brain Sip and Chat, and I got confirmation a couple days later when I was on my way to go speak at a church. Something told me look at to my right, and on my right on a billboard says Sip and Chat Bar and Grill. I'm like, okay, confirmation, wonderful. Took a picture of it. And Sip and Chat started. So pretty much what it is I created a platform where I can pretty much utilize all of my passions, event planning, hosting, speaking, and coaching, and motivating people. And pretty much I have drinks, I have food, I have little goodie bags for my guests, and I ask them thought-provoking questions to get their minds and their hearts and their spirits racing into mm-hmm. gearing them to go to the next level of their life, whatever it is. So I teach them the art of not being fearful or feeling ashamed or having pride or ego get in the way of living their best life now. So I ask them questions like, name three things you love about yourself, name three weaknesses you're trying to turn into strengths, and how can I help you get there? When was the last time you cried? How do you tolerate yourself now as you're getting older as a person? What are your imperfections? What do you feel like you need work on? Are you embracing your stretch marks and your scars or whatever it is that you're going through? Are you embracing the fact that you have faults and flaws? What are you doing about those things? So I ask them questions like that, and I get, oh, my God, I've never thought about that before. I'm like, yay, wonderful, congratulations. That's why you're here.
Well, you know, that sounds really cool. So it's like in a big group format, and you just,
mm-hmm.
it's just kind of a mingling event, and then you kind of
yep.
do your
mingling, network, some Moscato, some vodka.
All right.
And I it's like two drink minimum per person. Like, you only get two drinks because I don't need you slurring and going home. We're going to sip responsibly and chat respectfully in a safe and judgment-free zone. You can talk about anything here, but I don't want you drunk.
So it's a two drink maximum, you mean?
Not a minimum. I don't do the bar alcohol thing, you know. So it's like, okay, I only need two drinks. You only get two drinks. That's what I say. But no, it's really fun and just nice. And I definitely like to show my guests a good time. That's why I have little gift bags, because I want them to know that I appreciate them. Because the $35 or $50 or how much, however it is, that's coming from your light bill, your rent, your gas bill, you know, the food from your table. So I want to make sure that I thank you and tell you that I appreciate you, that you coming and spending time with me, but also congratulating you for wanting to see help in order to get your life to that next level, whatever you're positioning yourself, where you're positioning yourself in your life. I want to thank you for that. So that's why I offer the drinks and the food and the goodie bags and all that stuff, because I want you to know that I do appreciate you and I do thank you, and I'm grateful for the love and the support, but also for you being here and supporting me and making sure that you know that I'm here for you at any given point in time.
Very, very cool. And I'm glad that you are doing this. Like I said, I look forward to, you know, your future events. And I, you know, like, now that we're winding the show down a little bit, I just want to get a little bit into one aspect of, you know, this discussion that we haven't got to talk about yet. I am a health and wellness coach, so I want to see. Yeah, I'm really trying to find out, what do you do? Let's talk about a little bit about nutrition, because I know that, you know, someone who has as much energy and so much passion, you have to be doing something correct in your diet and your lifestyle. So tell us about it.
I try to sleep as much as I can. I used to be the kind of person that would sleep like 4 or 5 hours, but now I try my best to sleep at least 6 or 7 hours a night. I try to drink as much water as possible. I'm working on it because it's not my favorite beverage in the world to do.
That's very common. I understand.
I definitely take vitamins and antioxidants. I take iron pills because at one point I was anemic, so I try to take them every other 2 days. I recently started cutting out a lot of bread and rice from my diet because I feel like it makes me too heavy. I'm a curvy woman. I love my curves, but I don't like feeling that bloat feeling. I don't like feeling like lack of energy. So I do that. I walk a lot, especially here in New York. Everybody walks in New York. So I would walk 15 to 20 blocks sometimes. I would walk from work because I work on in Chelsea on 8th and West 15th, and I would walk from here all the way to Grand Central.
Okay. That's a good walk.
It's a very good walk. Or sometimes I'll take dance classes because I love music. So I love bachata and salsa, merengue, soca, calypso, you name it. If I could dance my butt off to it, I'm a dance.
All right. That's good, good. And I guess there's some dancing at the Sip and Chat.
All right.
Hey, listen, that's good, that's good. Well, so far, like I said, what's that?
I said, even with that, with the Sip and Chat, the last one that I had before the Sip and Chat Beauty Bash that I had, actually had just a regular Sip and Chat. And Shari, my publicist, was so gracious to get me something called Bougie Vodka, which was vodka that is GMO, gluten, and allergen free.
Really?
Yes, it was amazing. Oh, my gosh.
I got to talk to Shari because
I was thinking about my brother. Don't worry, I got you.
Yeah, please. Yeah, no, this is... this is a great conversation. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that, you know, you brought up that GMO thing. Now, is that something that are you into the organic movement? Are you into the non-GMO movement? Are you into any of these? Are you pigeon cooped into a diet, or it's just something that, you know, you just have a regular lifestyle that you follow?
I do have a regular lifestyle. I do everything in moderation. I don't overdo it or underdo it. I just try to make sure that I'm conscious in what I'm putting into my mouth. And for me, especially around that time, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. You're going to delve into the chocolate. So I'll have chocolate sometimes, you know, a little soda here and there, but I don't push the issue. And what I started doing, too, in the mornings when I get my tea, I just do tea with milk, no sugar. And during the course of the day, I try to watch my sugar intake because on my father's side, there's a lot of diabetes taking place. So
okay.
I make sure whenever I go do my yearly physical, I get checked for that, especially that I'm like, I hope I'm not diabetic. Test me. So, but for me right now,
no, it's good to be on top of it.
Exactly. So we just pretty much, I mean, just everything in moderation and just being mindful of what's going in my body and being mindful of the people that are around me to make sure that that's not affecting me or draining my energy, because my energy is part of my health and my wellness. I have to make sure that my spirit is protected and guarded in order for me to do everything that I'm doing, because once that shuts down for me, everything shuts down.
Got it. Oh, listen, all great tips. I love how you, you know, you're being easy on the sugar. I think that's, you know, that's my mantra to everybody. If they can cut back sugar, that's great. And you can preach moderation. So, you know, you can see why you have that energy, you have that passion, and you can, you know, sustain your busy lifestyle. So I'm glad that the audience got a peek into that for sure. So.
They're like, this lady is crazy. I can't keep up with her.
Well, you know what? When you were sleeping 4 to 5 hours a night, that was the problem. Now you're back to the regular, you know, normal range, you know. So that's important.
it is very important. And I think for me, my wake-up call was when I almost died 4 years ago. I had fibroid tumors that was outside of my uterus, and one of them was the size of a softball, and it got infected, so it shut my whole system down. I was in the hospital 13 days. I had 8 antibiotics in and out my system. My blood count was 13. I lost the baby. I had to have surgery, so they had to cut me from one side to the other like a C-section, and they took out 4 fibroids out of me. I lost 26 pounds in 1 week. I had morphine, pump cassette, I mean, everything you could possibly think of. And then 3 weeks later, my gallbladder shot down on me. It was damaged beyond repair, so I had to have a second surgery, still healing from the first surgery. And 2 weeks later, I married my husband.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So trust me, I do everything in moderation now, especially all of that. And thank God, every time I go to my doctor, it's been 4 years, I only have 1 small fibroid in my uterus. The rest have not grown since then. So I'm very fortunate.
Now you are, you know, for that, they're so tough. I mean, I know a lot of people who struggle with, you know, fibroids and, oh, man. But, yeah, now, you know, I'm sure that, you know, your diet and lifestyle that you know, incorporate now is actually helping with that. So that's good that you're on top of it.
I am, and I try as best as possible to stay as happy and peaceful as possible as I can, and not to have anxiety or be depressed, because those things play a part in how your whole body functions and feels. Yes, it's food and exercise and diet and all that stuff, but mentally and emotionally, if you're not there, then that takes a toll on you as well, and that's where all these other things start taking place, because it's like a domino effect.
Absolutely. You are 100% right. Well, listen, you've been an amazing guest, and terrific. I really want you, because I know that you're going to get a lot of people who are going to be really interested in what you do. I just want to give you a couple minutes to just tell everybody how to get in touch with you, tell them how to get your book, your Facebook, Instagram, Twitter accounts, everything you have, including your website and the various other ways to get in touch with you, and, you know, just get any way to get an invite to the Sip and Chat movement, and, you know, if they're in the area. So just, you know, whatever you and any parting words that you have for the audience. I want to give
parting
you
words is you were born an accomplishment. You were destined for greatness. Go out and make those dreams your reality, because you only have one life and you only have one opportunity to do it great. So do it amazing. Mm-hmm. Do it great. Whatever it is, do it great. For Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Dillis Davis, DHYLLESDAVIS, Dillis Davis, DillisDavis.com as well. My book, Your Life, Your Purpose, No Explanations, can be found on Amazon as well as Kindle. So you can type in Your Life, Your Purpose, No Explanations, or you can type in Dillis Davis. I am pretty much the only Dillis Davis with my name spelled the way it is, so you should have no problem finding me in no way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that exactly. Very, very cool.
So,
interesting
and,
way to spell.
As far as the Sip and Chat movement, the last one was in October 2015 of this year, because I wanted to take a little break just to chill and relax. But I do have my online YouTube show called the Sip and Chat Movement Online Hour. Again, you can type in Zilla Savis or Sip and Chat Movement, and it'll pop up. And I do that every Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time because I'm in New York City. And next year will be the Sip and Chat Movement Tour. I'll be touring the whole East Coast area, so I'll let you guys know when that's taking off and you know, popping off, jumping around. And for you, Omar, I'm actually working on the Sip and Chat Fellas for the guys.
Yeah,
the guys,
all right.
Something to look forward to. And I'll make sure I'll have Shari reach out to a whole bunch of different sponsors to put little goodies in a gift box for the guys, like maybe some bow ties or some ties or some cologne or something for the fellas, because I don't want to leave my guys out. You guys are very important to me, and I want to make sure that you're taking care of the same way that I take care of the ladies, because you're important.
Thank you. I meant to ask that part about it as well, but we had a conversation off the air about it. But you guys, you're welcome to come to these events as well, and you know that's very good. Guys need to take opportunities like this because you know we think we know it all, but you know,
especially guys that are single. There's about 15 women in the room, all shapes, types, and sizes that you can talk to. I would be more than happy to introduce you to them.
Oh boy, we're good. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of guys signing up. That's good. Good for them.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing me and my husband are actually doing a Sip and Chat for couples as well in relationships. So if anyone's married or in a relationship and you want to learn how to keep your relationship honest and spicy and amazing and fire in the relationship in the whole, mentally, spiritually, sexually, emotionally, psychologically, we have you too.
Awesome. Hey, listen, you got the Sip and Chat for everybody. That's good.
Exactly. Open market for all. All are welcome.
That's great. That's great. Again, listen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
This is a great time, and I think that the audience is going to love this show. This is really, really cool.
Awesome. I'm glad. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for everything that you're doing on your side of the world and your purpose, and I celebrate you. And I wish you much, much, much success, long-term, permanent, stable success, and not 15 minutes of fame, but great success in your life.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. All right, you have a good night, Zilla. Thanks again.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. That was Zilla Davis. Wow, she was great, huh? Oh, man. That's someone who just overcomes a lot of things. Really, really inspires people to actually be positive, learn from experience, and just really present your best foot forward in this world. This is Omar Cumberbatch from the Wellness Ultimatum Radio Show. Thank you for listening. As always, it's always greatly appreciated. I will be on the air next week with a new and exciting guest, and really want to thank you again for listening, as always. All right, have a good night.